Okay, this is Watchan Lake Bible School, 2016. This is class number four with Brother Bernard Burke. His overall theme is By Faith Joseph. This class number four, is titled The Man in Whose Hand the Cup is Found. Our reading was Genesis 44. Brother Bernard?
Good morning, my beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. The text before us today is Genesis chapters 43 and 44, which I know is going to leave us hanging on the edge of the cliff at the end of chapter 44, but there is another class tomorrow. So, Genesis 43 verse 1, and the famine was sore in the land. The word is elsewhere translated grievous. God is grinding the people down. As we saw earlier in the week, he did all this great work right across the Middle East to bring Jacob's sons to glory. But Jacob does not want to face up to the issue. Verse 2, it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. Can you just go and get a sack for it? Just try to serve. He does not want to face the issue. God is forcing Jacob to let Benjamin go so that he and all his brethren may be redeemed. And this is causing intense mental pain to Jacob. Now, the humanistic view was expressed by the Greek philosopher Epicurus, who said, in life, pleasure is the sole good and pain is the sole evil. So the objective of life is to maximize pleasure and avoid pain. That's not the way our God thinks. God is bringing all this pain upon this family because he wants them to enjoy the pleasures of his kingdom forevermore. But now in this time of impasse, Judah comes to the fore. Verse 3, and Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us. Look at your margin. Protesting, he protested. And we'll find this kind of Hebraism keeps occurring throughout the next several verses. Protesting, he protested unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Judah, humbled by the events of chapter 38 that we looked at, now takes the leadership of the family. Verse 6, and Israel said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? He's blaming his son. A situation that he can find no escape from. And they said, the man asked us straightly. Margin, asking he asked us. And of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him, according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know, knowing could we know, that he would say, bring your brother down. And Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die. And he's quoting Jacob's own words from chapter 42 and verse 2, where Jacob said, behold, I have heard there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Judah is quoting Jacob's words back to him. Dad, we don't all want to die. We want to live. Therefore, we've got to go to Egypt and we've got to take Benjamin. We may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little one. And now Judah steps up to the mark. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, Then let me bear the blame forever. And Judah is now demonstrating a care for his father, for his brother, and for his family, which was entirely absent in Genesis 37, when they sold Joseph. And this is what God, through Joseph, is seeking. Verse 10. Well, except we had lingered, surely now we have returned this second time. And there's an echo forward there to Acts chapter 7, to that wonderful inspired speech of Stephen. We talked about inspiration the other night, and Stephen's speech is one of the passages which has been attacked. Oh, it's full of mistakes, we are told. Stephen was speaking before the Sanhedrin. If he had made a single error in the facts that he became to them, they'd pounce upon him. But the scripture says they were not able to resist the wisdom with which Stephen spoke. Stephen was speaking by inspiration. And yes, there are some interesting things. Verse 14, for example, Acts 7. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75. Genesis tells us there were 67 who went down in party. There's an answer to that, we might get to it tomorrow. But verse 13 of Acts 7. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known to Pharaoh. And at his second appearance, Jesus will make himself known to his brethren and to the world. Back into Genesis 43 and verse 11. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels. That word translated best fruits is the root of the Hebrew word that's translated in our English Bible, psalm. And Young's Literal actually says, take of the song of the land, rather than take of the praise of the land with you. And carry down the manna present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. Are they going to bring forth fruits, meat for repentance? Well, we shall see. Verse 12, and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Now, I'm not totally sure whether they took two lots of money or three lots of money, just in case there'd been a price increase because of the famine. But the point is, the Jews have never learned that they are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. The only means of redemption is the precious blood of Christ, whom they rejected and whose blood they shed. Verse 13, take also your brother and go again to the mill. Take your brother. A reminder of who he was and what he was to them. And El Shaddai, give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. Imagine. And I, as I have been bereaved of my children, am bereaved. He already lost one son. And here's Jacob at his lowest point in the narrative, and he's forced to let Benjamin go. What a spiritual man he is. What is he saying? He's saying, not my will, but thine be done. And there are one or two in scripture who do that. David, as he flees from Absalom in 2 Samuel 15, and he begins the ascent of the Mount of Olives. So he's basically in the Garden of Gethsemane. and Zadok and Abiathar carry forth the ark, and David sends it back. And he says, carry back the ark of God into the city, 2 Samuel 15, verse 25. If I shall find favor in the eyes of Yahweh, he will bring me again, resurrection, and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here I am. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. And that's why the gospel records that Jesus oft times resorted to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. Because he's standing, as he would understand, on the very spot where 1,000 years before his ancestor David had stood and prayed the same prayer as he would pray on that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's where Jacob is. And God brings men to this position. But God brought him through it. And eventually he came to recognize that. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 16. He couldn't see it at the time, but now he sees it. Genesis 48:16. The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named upon them. Couldn't see the angel there. And we often, brothers and sisters, can't see the angel in our lives, but he's there. And think of the Lord Jesus Christ reading this. How much encouragement did he get from seeing how his father had dealt with Jacob, and how he had redeemed Jacob out of all the evil, as the Lord believed his father would do for him. So back in Genesis 43, verse 15. And the men took that present, and they put double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up, and went down to Egypt, and stood before Joseph. He knew that the famine was grinding down. He knew that they would come back. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Now we can find out if they have been honest over the money. And then we can apply the final test. Verse 17, the man did as Joseph prayed, and the man brought the men to Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, because of the money that was returned in our sacks the first time we were brought in, that he may seek occasion upon us, against us, and fall upon us, and take us for bondmen and our assets. It harks back to what we saw yesterday, when they stood before him the first time and said, we are very, very guilty concerning our brother. And we saw the anguish of his soul. And they knew that they had taken that money from the Ishmaelites and put it in their pockets. And now there was other money. And they felt they were about to be accused of stealing that also. Things weren't working out as they expected. And they're terrified. The first time they blamed their plight on what they'd done to Joseph, now on the money. Verse 19. They came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, oh sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. Margin, coming down, we came down. And it came to pass, when we came to the inn, that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. But other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put the money in our sacks. And notice again, all the way through, they're telling the truth. That's exactly what it was. And of course in doing this, they're foreshadowing Judas Iscariot, who went back to the chief priests and scribes and said, I've brought the money back, I've betrayed innocent blood. Now look at verse 24. This is amazing. remembering what we read in the first class back in Genesis chapter 37 and the end of verse 4. His brethren could not say the word shalom to him. Genesis 43 and verse 23. And he said, Joseph's servant, who was the ruler of his house, and he said, shalom. Shalom to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you pleasure in your sacks. I have your money. How did this man know? How did this man know about the God of their father? Joseph had taught him the truth. He was teaching the Hebrew. I have your money. Where did the money come from that he had? Joseph had paid the price for it all himself, as has the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all redeemed with the precious blood of Christ at no cost to ourselves. And he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet and gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. You can feel them relaxing now. Oh, we're through that. It's okay. We've got through that trial. All will be well. Joseph is constantly doing this, grinding them down and then taking the pressure off so they can relax it. But if they were on an emotional roller coaster, so was he. Verse 26. When Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth, all 11 of them. And the first dream was fulfilled. God had brought it to pass. Now Joseph is thinking. Now for the second one. Verse 27. And he asked them of their welfare. Margin? Peace. Shalom. And said, is your father well? Margin, is there peace to your father? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? And can you imagine the emotion of Joseph? You see, when Jacob went north to Padan Aram to find a wife, because of the hatred of Esau, which had been stirred up by his mother's organizing the deception of Isaac, Jacob went north to Padan Aram, was in the house of Laban for, I believe, 40 years, not 20, was in the house of Laban for 40 years, and when he came back, as far as the record tells us, Rebecca was dead. He never saw his mother again. And there was nothing in the dreams which told Joseph that he would see his father again in this life. Yet in the kingdom, second dream. But there was nothing in the first dream that told Joseph that he would see his father. And Joseph longed above all things to see his father. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ longed to be with his father. I come unto thee, he said. So his first question, what he wanted to say is Dad still alive? Because he can't. Because he's got to maintain this mask of imperturbability. He's the governor of the land, he's the ruler of Egypt, and he's got one more trial to put him through. And so, in a voice void of emotion, he says, is your father well? The old man of whom he spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And you can hear Joseph in terms of, oh, he's alive. I may yet see him. And they bowed down their heads and made a place and said, worship him. That's the very thing that was in the first dream. The sheaves made obeisance to Joseph, and that's exactly what they did. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, again, his passionate voice, this your younger brother, whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. The Hebrew is merciful. God be merciful unto thee, my son, teaching them all the need for mercy, which they had not shown to him 22 years before. Verse 30, and Joseph made haste. But his bowel did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. Second time. He longs to reveal himself to his brothers, but he can't do it yet. Verse 31, he washed his face and went out, and the text just says he refrained himself. Now this man could govern his own emotions. Incredible. And said, set on bread. What a contrast with chapter 37, verse 25, when the ten brothers sat down to eat bread, and Joseph is in the pit where there is no water, no food. Verse 33, and they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. Benjamin's mess was five times as much as theirs, and they drank and were merry with them. And there's an echo forward here, brothers and sisters, to the Lord Jesus Christ. I appoint unto you, literally, I covenant unto you, Luke 22 and verse 29, I covenant unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath covenanted unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, they weren't quite at his table, because verse 32 says, they said unto him by himself, and for them by himself, and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And Benjamin's plate was piled high, five times as much food as the other birds. Is that going to arouse jealousy in them? He would be listening. He knew his Hebrew. He'd be listening to their table conversation. But they are fully relaxed now, confident that their problems are over. They've passed the money test. Little do they know that Joseph is about to set the hardest test of all. 44 verse 1. He commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And now Joseph is going to set up a repeat of the situation that existed 22 years previously. He's going to put them now through the Benjamin test. He's going to bring about a situation where they can leave Benjamin, Joseph's full brother, Rachel's other son, as a slave in Egypt, and go back to their father loaded with food, and the sons of Leah can rule. He's giving them the opportunity to get rid of Rachel's other son. And he's going to be there to see their reaction. Will they take this opportunity, or will they react differently this time? Verse 3. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing. 22 years before, they had rewarded Joseph evil for the good that he did. Now, the roles are reversed. Verse 5, is not this in which my Lord drinketh? That's okay. And whereby indeed he divineth? Does it involve magic and dealing with pagan gods? Not at all. Turn back to Genesis chapter 30, where the same word occurs. Genesis chapter 30 and verse 27. Genesis 30, verse 27, and Laban said unto Jacob, I pray thee, if I have found favour in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience which thou hast blessed me for thyself. That's the same as divine in verse 5 of chapter 44. And go to 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 33. We'll have another verse of the same word. First book of Kings chapter 20 and verse 33. And we're in the circumstances of Ahab and Ben-Hadad. And Ben-Hadad's been taken captive, and he's a bit worried about what might be done to him. So verse 33, now the men did diligently observe whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, thy brother Ben-Hadad diligently observed. Notice the margin? Take you straight back to Genesis 44, verse 55, verse 5. It's the same word. The men did divine? No, they didn't. They listened carefully. So, a better translation in Genesis 44, verse 5. Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he maketh trial? That's exactly what he was doing. He was making a trial of them by using the cup. He's trying to try them all, see what sort of men they are. But these Jews are supremely confident. Verse 7. They said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? May it not be that thy servant should do according to this thing? Behold, our money which we found in our sacks, man, we brought it again to thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of my Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen. Took Saul of Tarsus quite a while to learn to have no confidence in the flesh. But these men did. And notice their rules. If you find the cup, the man who's got it dies, and we're all slaves. And of course he did find the cup in Benjamin's sack. In verse 13, they rent their clothes, and loaded every man his ass, and returned to the city. They did what Jacob did in chapter 37, when he saw the bloodstain. And verse 14, and Judah and his brethren, and that's the first time we've read that phrase. Usually it's the children of Israel, or the men, or Joseph's brothers. But now Judah, who had stood before his father and said, I will be surety for him. Now Judah is taking leadership. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he's yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. First dream fulfilled again. He has dominion over them. He is ruling over them. The very thing that they said they would not have back in Genesis 37. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine, and look at the margin, make trial? That's what he's doing. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? For how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And they've climbed down already. That's from verse 9. With whomsoever the cup is found, let him die. Have you realized? To go through with that, Benjamin's attack. That's the last thing they want. So, we'll all be my Lord's servants. Joseph said, no, I make the rules. Verse 17, he said, may it not be that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Well, shalom again. So, Judah now has to speak. Now, just look at the geographic side. Verse 14, Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. So there's Joseph, and they're all bowed down before him on the ground. So they're pretty close. They're in his house. They're in a room in his house, and they're all bowing down before him. Verse 18, then Judah came near unto him. So he gets up from the floor and he comes face to face with Jesse, almost eyeball to eyeball. And Joseph knows that this is the brother, because he's heard it from the pit, who said, what profit is it if we kill our brother? Come, let's sell him to slave in Egypt. And Joseph knows this is the one. And Joseph is all in. What is Judah going to say to me now? But Judah is now standing up, literally, for the responsibility that he took on before his father. He's also acutely conscious of the terrible deed that he did to Joseph 22 years before. And he's now seeing the effect of that deed upon Jacob. But he's never confessed his sin. But he's not going to allow the same thing to happen to Joseph's younger brother. He's not going to redouble the grief of his father. So he stands and he speaks to Joseph. Now, if you analyse his words, I think I've counted these correctly, I've done it several times. 8 times he refers to Joseph as my lord. 10 times he describes himself and his brothers as thy servant or thy servants. And 7 times he says, my father. These are the key issues. He and they are base. Others are exalted. It's so difficult for the flesh. Philippians and chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's what Judah is doing. He begins to confess their sin and to recognize the hand of God before him. So verse 19, verse 18. O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead. That just confirms to Joseph what the view of the family was. And he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And that echoes back to Genesis 37. Now, Jacob loved Joseph. Because of Jacob's love for Joseph, his brothers hated him. Now, Judah acknowledges his father loveth him. And thou saidst to thy servants, bring him down unto me, that I set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. Joseph had asked the questions. The brothers had protested. Joseph had demanded. Young's literal translation renders that last phrase, ye shall see my face no more, as ye add not to see my face, because the verb there is the verbal form of the name Joseph, the increaser. Ye shall not increase to see my face. Ye shall not, Joseph, see my face. And those are Judah's words. As he repeats what Joseph has said. Verse 24. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. That's exactly what we just read in chapter 43. And we said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us. Exactly truthful account of what had happened on their return. And thy servant my father said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. Remember the challenge I put out on Saturday night? How many times Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, Zilpah called or referred to as Jacob's wife? And the answer is Bilhah once, Zilpah once, Rachel four times, and Leah never. And Judah has to acknowledge that it was not his mother Leah, her sister Rachel, whom Jacob always regarded as his wife. Give me my wife, he said to Laban at the end of the 7 years of service. You know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces. And I saw him not since. And now Joseph knows what they had said to their father when they took his coat back. How did he feel? Not at all. But he's standing there, listening to Judah, and somehow or other controlling his emotions so that they don't show on his face. Verse 29. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Another hint that Jacob suspected that his sons were involved with the disappearance of Joseph. Now therefore, when I am come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. There's an echo here forward to 1 Samuel 18, where we're told that Jonathan, the son of Saul, saw David. And the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And it's the same word. The word life here, his life is bound up, is the word soul. And bound up is translated knit in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. So we could translate this. Seeing that his soul is knit to the lad's life, the lad's soul. Jacob and Benjamin were that close. Verse 31. And it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the grey hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. He's quoting, of course, the words of Jacob. That's exactly what Jacob said. If you come back without Benjamin, I will die, and you will bring my grey hairs down to the grave. Judah had been listening, and more than listening, empathising with his father. Verse 32. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then shall I bear the blame to my father for ever. Joseph must have been thrilled to hear those words. But Judah was now taking responsibility for a son of Rachel. And Joseph would have realized from what Judah had said that's recorded in verse 28, where he says that his father said, surely Joseph is torn in pieces. Joseph would have realized that Judah had never confessed to his father that he had sold Joseph into Egypt. Now he was taking responsibility for Benjamin. Verse 33. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondsman unto my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. That's all he can do. Plead that he can be a slave. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? lest peradventure I will see the evil which will come upon my father. He has no other option. He cannot go back to the father whom he now loves. He would rather die as a slave in Egypt, the very fate to which he had consigned Joseph, than see his father die with grief, for which he was the direct cause. And there, brothers and sisters, with lives in the balance, we have to leave him. So we see the outcome tomorrow. But this is far more than an enthralling narrative. It's far more than a chapter which brings tears to the eyes when we read it. And there's a number of brothers and sisters have said that to me. It's happened to me also. These words are here to teach us lessons about our relationships to one another, to our family, to our ecclesia. One of the things I remember my father saying to me was, be sure your sin will find you out. And the brothers had concealed for 22 years what they had done to Joseph. And now, God, through Joseph, is about to bring it all out into the open. Some men's sins are open going before them. Others follow after. And all this was about to be brought out. And there are the brethren, standing there before Joseph, the governor of the land, who is now their judge. And the apostle says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So as we read this account, brothers and sisters, we don't want to read it with a sense of detachment, that we're just viewing something that happened to other people, which is never going to happen to us, because it is. We will have to stand before the judge of all the earth. So we ought to follow the counsel of the wise man in the book of Proverbs. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And be more aware than maybe we are of the effect of our words and actions upon us.